Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300. Many painful memories being relived by a lot of people in the last week or so. 2002 is when the big sexual abuse scandal broke in the Catholic Church in America. And not even 10 years later, another sexual abuse scandal, not in the Roman Catholic Church, but at Penn State University. And the parallels between the two, how it was handled, how the crimes were permitted to continue, are remarkable. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Thursday afternoon. It's the 17th of November. Colleen Carroll Campbell joins us to talk about the sexual abuse scandal at Penn State University to kick us off. Bobby Rush Jr. will be with us after that. We'll talk about media coverage of religious liberty and the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Also, an alleged inflammatory statement made by a Baptist pastor at an Oklahoma City Council meeting and how it was covered by the media. We will round off this Thursday afternoon studying the hymn, Wake, Awake, For Night Is Flying. Dr. Paul Grimm of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. That's appropriate for the closing days of the church's year. Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
This sex scandal at Penn State, as a Roman Catholic, how familiar does this story sound to you?
Well, unfortunately, it is quite familiar to Catholics who have been watching, obviously, since 2002, when news of the Catholic Church's version of the scandal first began to really make national headlines. And the pattern is a disturbing one, and it's one we've seen in a lot of different institutions, but obviously the Catholic Church being the most widespread international scandal in kind of the greatest proportion. And that is, you know, trusted, successful authority figure, red flags going up all over the place for years, and just a series of missed opportunities to stop him from abusing kids. And as a result, just a trail of destruction, not only of the abuse victims, but broken trust of a community that looked to leaders of this institution, in this case Penn State, to, you know, act forthrightly and promptly to protect children, and they didn't. And of course, we know in the Catholic Church there were obviously, many priests who, you know, abused their role and authority and were very sick and were preying on children, and had bishops who were enabling their behavior by trying to quietly rehabilitate them or deal with them in-house as opposed to turning them over to the police, which we now know is the only solution to these kinds of problems.
So, you talk in a recent column about what you mentioned before, a misplaced loyalty in an institution, trusting that the institution can take care of this problem, or that someone higher up in the institutional ladder will notify the proper authorities. There's a fine line between that and a cover-up, isn't there?
There is. I mean, for the purposes of the victims, there's no real distinction there. You know, and the victims are who we need to always keep front and center in all of these scandals, no matter whether we're talking about the Boy Scouts, Penn State, or the Catholic Church, or any other church for that matter. And the victims tend to be the first ones to get lost because their children, in the Penn State case, they were particularly vulnerable children of few means, which is probably exactly why they were chosen by Jerry Sandusky, who's alleged to have abused them. And you know, it becomes a situation where the focus is on the reputation of adults, the interests of adults, the concerns over how this is going to make the institution look, and the focus on children is lost. In terms of that idea of misplaced I mean, the term that I used there, I got straight from the Vatican's chief sex abuse investigator, who just gave a speech about 2 weeks ago in which he urged Catholic parents to recognize that it's their right and their duty to report to authorities any you know, concerns they have about abuse, and not to allow what he called ill-informed or misplaced ideas of loyalty to the church to stop them from doing so. There's nothing disloyal, whether it's to your church, your school, your favorite football program. There's nothing disloyal about taking your concerns about the safety of a child straight to the civil authorities, straight to the police, and not bothering to waste time talking to higher-ups or hoping the next guy is going to report it. It's just not the way we should be handling these things. And as we saw in Penn State and as we saw in the Catholic Church scandals and as we've seen before, internal solutions to these kinds of problems are no solution at all. And typically the abuser takes advantage of the slow-moving internal processes or processes that don't move at all, and he gets a free pass and he continues to abuse, sometimes for years, even decades longer. So I think it's just something that can't be said enough. And the more scandals like these break, wherever they break, the more we recognize that when you find out about something like this, you suspect something, you see something, go to the police. Don't go to the boss, don't go to the bishop, don't go to the coach. You can tell all those folks later, but make sure the police know, because the police are the ones equipped to investigate this. And, you know, generally speaking, they're the ones who don't have an interest in preserving any reputations. Their job is to find out what happened. And unfortunately, when you deal with in-house solutions and institutional processes to deal with this stuff, there's always politics involved, and the first ones to lose out when politics are involved tend to be the innocent victim.
So what you're saying here is that while there may be many internal solutions for lesser crimes or violations of rules, this is of a different caliber. This is one where the institution has to take, and everyone involved has to take, a back seat to the safety of children.
That's right. I mean, we're talking about sexual abuse. In the Penn State case, we're talking about an assistant coach who walked in on child rape and promptly walked back out and called his dad. You don't call your dad when you see a rape taking place. I mean, personally, I would like to think, even if Jerry Sandusky was twice my size, I would have walked over and punched him in the face and grabbed the kid. And then you can call your dad and the cops and everyone else. If I wouldn't have had the courage in the moment to do that for whatever reason, I would hope I would have at least called the police. Right then, right there. You don't call Joe Paterno, the head coach. You don't call your dad to see what he thinks you should do. I mean, we're talking about a 28-year-old assistant coach here. This is not a 12-year-old who walked in on a fellow child being abused. Now, obviously, it's easy to Monday morning quarterback on these kinds of situations, but I think we, again, see where concerns about going through the right channels and institutional politics have taken precedence over what should just be a basic right any child has, to being protected by any adult of goodwill in the vicinity who sees that there's something amiss. And what was sickening about the Penn State case, and of course other cases before this, including many that have plagued the Catholic Church and scandalized many of the Catholic faithful, is that there were red flags about this person. This was a guy who was found, laying on top of boys during apparent wrestling sessions where, adults would walk in on him and he'd jump up and try to explain himself. And, the grand jury report that came out had had probably about a dozen cases like this. But each time the adult turned, looked the other way, decided it wasn't something worth bringing any higher than perhaps to his own boss. And I think we just need to take seriously the fact that these are crimes. The sexual abuse of a child is a crime. And it's not something that a boss can take care of. It's something that should be brought to the police. And if that tars a few reputations and scandalizes a few bystanders, so be it. We need to take care of children first. And my point about loyalty to an institution is not that that's a negative thing. Love for and loyalty to an institution, particularly your church, is a very beautiful and good thing. But it should never be confused with this sort of fixation on protecting appearances at all costs. That's not true loyalty. Authentic love and loyalty is always grounded in truth and in justice. And when you come upon evidence of a child being sexually abused, there is only one just response, and that is to let the truth lead where it will, go to the cops, and tell what you know.
Real quickly, with only about 30 seconds, Colleen, is it a problem with the law as well that in Pennsylvania, all that they were required to do legally was to report it in-house, not to the authorities? Does the law need to change?
I think it does need to change in states where that's still the case. I think we should have mandatory reporting across the nation for these things. These are crimes. These don't tend to be handled well in-house. It's a crime. You know, if you came upon a rape, you wouldn't just tell your boss or your buddy or call your dad about it. You would report it to the police. And just because it's a child who's being raped by someone prominent and important and wealthy and whatever else these might have going for him, doesn't change your responsibility. So I think that legal responsibility should be the same. And I think anyone involved in cases like these who turns the other way basically commits a sin of omission that can do almost as much harm as those active sins of the actual abuser. The abuser is in a class by himself, of course, but all of those who look the other way and wink at it are in some ways participating in this child's victimization, and they have to bear that for the rest of their lives. And I think the law should recognize that responsibility they have and force people, all of us, to stand up and protect children.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read those columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thanks, Colleen.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to talk about media coverage, in particular the New York Times peculiar headline in covering the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops recently and the issue of religious liberty. You always got to watch those headlines and then, of course, read carefully to see whether or not what you saw in the headline is supported in the story. We'll also talk about an alleged inflammatory statement made by a Baptist pastor at an Oklahoma City Council meeting that highlights something about the media's coverage of religion as well, with Bobby Ross Jr. of GetReligion.org right after this. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. IssuesETC.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.